Welcome to the Folder Specifier Podcast. This is Brett Cyphers, and I'm here with my co-host, Ryan Matthews. If you like what you hear and you want to support the show, please be sure to hit subscribe and tell a friend.
And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Florida Specifier online at floridaspecifier.com. It's easy to do, and we think you'll enjoy all the ways you can read, watch, listen, and learn right at your fingertips. We can't thank you enough for the support.
All right, Ryan. How are you, sir?
I am good, Brett. I just touched down at old Tallahassee International Airport, and you know what they say. Tallahassee's just two short flights from anywhere in the country, so came right here to exactly. Record with you.
And I am so glad you did, sir. It's good to be with you. We're going to get into some interesting topics. You and I have worked on this kind of thing for a long time. But whether you're talking about the private sector, which is a lot of your time, and someone wanted to bring you something or, you know, represent them, whether it's inside government or out, how many hands would you need? How many times would you have someone that brought you a new technology that was absolutely going to fix everything in the entire world and we all live happily ever after?
I would need dozens of hands, more likely than not. And whether, as you mentioned, that was during our time in government or outside of government, you often have folks who come with the magic elixir, be it water quality or otherwise, that will solve all of the state's problems. And, you know, unfortunately, they don't, most don't end up panning out.
Yeah, I was going to be kind and say like four, five, six hands or something like that. But it is. I mean, it's funny. A lot of times it's whether something translates from the lab to scale, right?
Absolutely. Understandably, as a government as large as the state of Florida, there is some hesitation to jump, you know, 2 feet in and not do the requisite research development on projects, because obviously you want to spend taxpayer dollars appropriately. And so that's not to say that there aren't good technologies out there, or we haven't seen emerging technologies that have become successful. We're going to talk about one today.
Yeah.
But yeah, it far outweighs the have-nots versus the haves.
Yeah, and I think it's just tough. And you've been in that chair on the inside, I mean, in government, same as me, and someone like brings you something like, wow, that sounds cool, but, you know, am I going to spend or be a part of spending millions of dollars of taxpayer money on something that simply doesn't pan out in the end, right?
And I don't know about you, but for me, especially early on in my tenure in government, I had to catch myself from getting too excited, because you would go into these meetings and think, boy, you know, if this really does come to fruition, that's a game changer. But again, expectations need to be set. And I think you learn that as you go along in government.
Yeah, I like the segue there, because I want us to go back in our way back machines to August of 2020. And I have here an article from our very own Florida Specifier, convenient plug, written by Roy Laughlin, about today's guest. And one of those technologies that was being tried out by the St. John's River Water Management District, as well as Clay County. So as the story goes, a company called Swig was to use a patented passive treatment media system to provide enhanced wastewater treatment on wastewater effluent. In this case, that was coming out of the Fleming Island Regional Wastewater Facility. I think I'll leave the tech talk to our guests, as you can kind of see from how I stumbled my way just from a basic description there.
Yeah, definitely should.
Yeah, but that's the gist. Anyway, the point is, it seems to be working in the short term, at least at that point, but it still needed another, year or so to see if it was really going to do the job at scale. And here we are 4 years later.
So you're telling me we actually get to do one of those Where Are They Now episodes in the time that you and I have recorded. This is new for us. So I love the fact that we get to see something from birth to success, and we get to hear more about it today. So the suspense is killing me. We should get right into it.
Fair enough, sir. Joining us today are Mark Merkelbach and Vince Siebold with Sustainable Water Infrastructure Group, and that's otherwise known as the aforementioned SWIG. Mark is a civil designer and professional wetland scientist with over 2 decades of experience solving complex water management issues. He's also one of the founders of SWIG. Vince is an engineer with a specialty in complex water resource design and construction projects, as well as dealing with the often opaque world of environmental regulatory programs. Vince honed his skills during 25 years of public service at the City of Jacksonville, the St. John's River Water Management District, our very own Florida Department of Environmental Protection as well. He's now the operations director for SWIG. Mark and Vince, it is great to have you with us today. Before we get to the Clay County project and the other things that you've got going on, let's get to know you both a bit better, if you don't mind. Mark, let's start with you. You're doing a lot of work here in Florida, especially the northern half, which I like, but you're not from Florida, are you?
No. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you two for having us on. And we're big readers of The Specifier and love listening to this podcast, so it's exciting to be here in person and have this conversation. I'm living in Seattle, Washington, been there for 20 years, but my roots are in Jersey. So I was born and raised on the East Coast, went to school in Vermont, and ended up moving west with my wife going through grad school out there. Started out in consulting and actually started developing mitigation banks, wetland mitigation banks along the West Coast. That evolved into larger wetland restoration projects and an entryway to actually China. In the early 2010s to 2020, was doing work in China, doing these large ecosystem restoration projects. And in China, the big kind of elephant in the room is water quality. And that is where we really started focusing on these infiltrated systems and building tens of acres of these systems in China, using it as our R&D test bed. And now fast forward to 2018, my partner Jerome Ryan, who had been working in Florida, noticed this big water market developing and funding to match it. And that's where we took a lot of our lessons learned, both from the West Coast, also from Asia, and starting SWIG in 2018 and basically growing a business here and you know, pushing for more of these passive vertical filtering systems.
Is that what your education took you to? What was your graduate degree in?
That's great. I started out as an environmental scientist and was a wetland ecologist. And as I was working in these more complicated restoration projects, I realized a void on the engineering and hydrology side. Went back to grad school to get my master's in civil engineering. So okay. That helped kind of complement and put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
Had you always had kind of an entrepreneurial bug in there as well during those years? Or when did that kind of come to the fore?
The credit goes to my wife, who started as the architect and never worked for a firm and had her own practice from day one. And finally, she just said, you just need to go on your own and do it yourself. And that's kind of where it all started.
Credit to the wife. Well done, Mark.
Yeah. Good call. Smart. And Vince, you are a Floridian with a vast array of experience in the natural resources field, but I am always curious about the paths that take people to the decisions they make all along the way. And so can you talk about yourself a little bit, talk about that path? First, let me ask you this. Are you originally from Florida?
Again, thanks for having me, but no, I'm not originally from Florida. My father was in the U.S. Navy. We moved all around the world until I was 15 years old. As a family, we spend a lot of time outdoors, exploring, camping, and immersing ourselves in the local culture. You know, looking back on this, this was probably the genesis of my passion to protect and preserve the environment. I ended up finishing high school in the Panhandle, Florida, in Fort Walton Beach, so okay. Not too far from where you guys are at right now. And after graduating from UF in environmental engineering and working for DEP for 17 years and earned my master's in business administration along the way from UNF, as well as my PE. I then spent 6 years working as the City of Jacksonville's Chief Environmental Quality Division, running the entire composite of regulatory programs as if it was a district, DEP district office, if you will. Also worked 5 years with AB InBev as Environmental Health and Safety Manager right in Jacksonville. So I got exposed to manufacturing and safety programs. And then I spent 2 years at the St. John's River Water Management District as Bureau Chief of District Projects and Constructions. My experience includes directing complex resource design and construction projects, as you alluded to earlier, administering environmental regulatory programs, and I'm managing environmental health and safety systems.
Let's go back to Jacksonville for a second. What took you to Jacksonville? Is it because it's a Navy town, or what was the catalyst for you moving there?
Good question. Right out of college, I actually co-opted in Jacksonville for JEA back in the day when they were actual just wastewater. That was in 87, dating myself a little bit. I enjoyed living there. And when I graduated college, I took a job with DEP. So it was a natural progression since I'd already worked in the city and I loved being there.
Vince, I'm curious, just because you've been in the arena for so long, I mean, you have seen quite an evolution of the state's natural resource protection, particularly from a legislative funding perspective. I mean, can you talk a little bit about the maturation, if you will, of the state and their focus on environmental funding specifically for water quality projects?
Right. You know, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, over the years, the funding has and support from the government side has progressed exponentially, and I think it's been a genesis for innovation and entrepreneurial spirit, as we alluded to earlier with Mark's briefing. So I think it's been a way to plug and try new things, and it's working well. And I can't compliment the governor's office and others enough for expanding the programs and getting the results they're getting.
Yeah, and Vince and Mark, you mentioned Jerome, who I think is what the co-founder with you of, yep, of SWIG. How did, as a team, how did you choose each other, as coming together to form this company?
It started 20 years ago, and it started with, I was working for Jerome at that time, developing mitigation banks with him along the West Coast. So that's where that linkage started. My other partner, Bill Lucas, who's a PhD in the group, we basically took a technology he started with his doctoral work in Australia and basically gave him the support where we could take something in concept and apply it to both testing to full scale. Bill and I worked together in Asia for 10 years. So it's combined experiences, and then having it all kind of come together to form a company with each one has their own unique talents and skill sets.
Nice.
Well, I want to get back into the specifier article from 4 years ago. Is that an accurate representation of how that project at Doctors Lake came together in the beginning?
Yeah, it was an innovative grant project through DEP to basically demonstrate enhanced phosphorus removal technologies. We were fortunate where we won the project through an RFP process, and it's situated on Doctors Lake, which is an impaired waterway right on the St. John's River. Clay County is allowed the project to be built on the back end of their wastewater treatment plant, which is discharging into a water reuse or reclaimed water system. So our system, as I mentioned, Brett, it's a vertical filter system using passive media. It's about an acre in size, where we're spreading about 1.5 million gallons per day, 24/7. And that water is basically removing any of the residual phosphorus. To date, we're still at 82% removal. Over 6,000 pounds have been removed.
Wow.
And we're kind of in the process of finding avenues for continued funding for 5 more years of operations. So, we're basically, that phosphorus that stays in our system doesn't become part of the reclaimed system and eventually ending up in Doctors Lake.
I'd like to also jump in and add a few points to that.
Yeah, please.
You may recall that the funding for Doctors Lake and the whole grant process started with a 2017 legislative appropriation championed by Senator Rob Bradley from Fleming Island, who currently serves as the St. John's Governing Board Chairman, also Representative Bobby Payne of Palatka, and Representative Travis Cummings from Orange Park. Another unique component of the contract we have with the Water Management District, it was design, build, and operate, but a key takeaway is it was a pay-for-performance. Hmm. And that means we sampled daily in and out phosphorus levels and provide that for the basis of our invoices. So it, as Mark can attest, it's the most monitored system in the state, we suspect, when it comes to phosphorus removal.
I very clearly remember Senator Bradley in committees talking about the Doctors Lake project, and when appropriations time, was occurring during his tenure in the legislature, holding up that evidence, saying, this is working. This is where these resources need to go. So it's very cool to hear from the practitioners themselves.
Yeah, it's funny, Ryan, that you say that when you look at something like that, you kind of think to yourself, going with the pay performance, you know precisely what you get for the dollars you're spending. And I find that attractive. From your standpoint, though, Mark, is you must find that's a huge gamble, right? It's like you have to, you're running a business and you're trying to implement a project. And if you're only getting paid, if it doesn't work, you don't get paid, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're basically in charge of your own destiny, and you know, I think this validates the trust we have in our tech and our ability to execute and operate. One, two, you got to kind of be you got to be able to predict the future, because you know you're only able to generate revenue assuming that you have consistent phosphorus or other nutrients coming into your systems. So I guess you want to know where your floor and your ceiling is with the amount of loads coming into your system. But luckily, the district does have very complete data sets. We're on the back end of a utility, so we can rely on their data as well to kind of help kind of create what those historic loads and future loads are going to look like, just to help de-risk the project.
Well, one of the issues with the ideas and good ideas that don't pan out is scalability and longevity. So Mark, I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about your specific tech, because this is not just a project that works at Doctors Lake, but again, there is scalability here. So talk a little bit about SWIG's process.
100%. Well, luckily we're not in the piloting phase anymore. We're 4 years out. So, and this is a full scale project. I mean, it's over 1 million gallons per day. We're at an acre in size, and this acre can be easily replicated into multiple acres. Longevity, Ryan, really is a key here, and part of our methodology for our projects is what we call is we age our media specific to projects. So for Doctors Lake, it originally was a 5-year project with 5 years of funding. So using the historic data, we basically knew what a 5-year load would look like. So we have an R&D lab in Orange Park where we do column tests, and we give these columns the equivalent of 5 years of loads. And we look at the effluent concentrations, what's leaving the system. And that way we're able to predict the longevity of our systems, and also have a good understanding of, you know, where we're gonna be in 5 years as far as removal concentrations. I mean, right now we're at 82. I think that our projections were gonna be around 79. So we're actually a couple points above, but we're kind of tracking where we thought we'd be. And this type of methodology we apply to all our projects just to show that we've got long tails and we can consistently remove these pollutant loads.
Well, and I want to make sure that folks know that there's a wide use for these type of projects. It's not as if you need a lake, if you will, or a certain body of water. I mean, this application and this tech could be applied in an urban setting. There could be aesthetically pleasing linear systems that are put in place, and certainly Florida has no lack of surface. Talk a little bit about the stormwater aspect as well.
Good question, Ryan. So the first thing that I wanted to state is we've got multiple media blends that are kind of targeted on different pollutant groups. The phosphorus elimination system, or PES, is targeted on phosphorus removal. So we can basically push a high rate of water, 4 to 6 feet of water per day over that system, and effectively remove phosphorus through a reaction called adsorption. So we're removing both particulate and soluble phosphorus. We also have a different blend that's focused, only can also take phosphorus, but also organic nitrogen. Mm. And so it's kind of a two-layered system where we have different oxic zones. And that way we get good nitrification in the surface layer and then denitrification in a bottom layer with our rates exceeding 70%. Mm. And we're really excited to start to demonstrate that new tech, because it really helps with being able to meet some of these new stormwater requirements coming up. And last but not least, we have a color removal. So this is a formulation that removes tannins. Tannins, surprisingly, is a similar removal mechanism to phosphorus, where our media is highly positively charged. Tannins have a negative charge, so there's this attraction. And we've been able to demonstrate effective removal of tannins, which Vince will probably chat a little bit about a Black Creek project where we're building a full-scale over 10-acre facility for tannin removals. As far as its application, the media can basically be wrapped in any type of envelope that you can think of. So Doctors Lake is a regional system, so it looks like a field scale. In an urban application where space is a limited constraint, we have modules where it's a mobile, just basically a roll-off 22-by-8-foot container, which allows us to basically drop and hook up. So it's a kind of a plug and play model, which is effective at the end of stormwater ponds, next to canals and other type of water features that need some level of treatment. And then you alluded to linear, is that this, the same type of medias can also be applied in your traditional bioswales for enhanced removal of stormwater contaminants.
And Vince, I know you're going to touch a little bit on the Black Creek project. Who is your ideal partner? Is it a local government? Who are you looking to kind of cooperate with in implementing some of these projects?
Yeah, I think the public sector is a major partner. I mean, but I can't discount private sector too, as, you know, developers are seeking a new development of stormwater ponds. They're going to need to meet the new standards too. But from, you know, regional systems and the government players are probably the biggest partners on a stormwater pond by pond basis. I see, you know, the consulting engineers that are working on these systems looking for alternatives, and that's where we come into play.
And what are you all specifically doing at Black Creek? Because I know that there has been some buzz in Tallahassee about that project as well.
Right. Just some key factoids from that one. It, you know, it's a large scale water transfer project. It's also in Clay County. The primary goal is to recharge the Floridan aquifer in northeast Florida with up to 10 million gallons a day of water transported from 17 miles away from Black Creek over by Penny Farms down to Keystone Heights area. This was also a major component of the 2017 legislation I mentioned earlier. So SWIG's color removal system would consist of about 12 acres of treatment media, roughly two feet in depth. It'll provide treatment required to meet state surface water quality standards for discharge into a clear lake system, which is Lake Brooklyn, which was the reason treatment was needed, because we're taking a naturally tannic water and discharging into a clear lake. So color removal was required. SWIG worked collaboratively with the Water Management District project team, including CDM Smith, to conduct column and pilot studies to demonstrate the removal of color and nutrients cost effectively for improved 10 years of life expectancy for the media. We were selected after an exhaustive review of other treatment options, including traditional systems and other media formulations, and the project received NPDES permits, ERP, and 404 in 2022, and the project's under construction with anticipated operation October this year.
Hopefully you got that DEP permit as opposed to the Corps.
Yeah, the NPDES. Oh, yeah, the ERP. Yes, sir.
Well, it seems to me like you all are sort of the dream child of DEP's new grant system, because you effectively could be eligible for water quality improvement grants. You could be eligible for innovative technology grants. You could be eligible for potentially alternative water supply grants as well. So, I mean, it seems as if your application would be extremely attractive to both governments and private sector who are doing either large-scale developments or have a water quality impairment need, because the state is really all in various means and measures to assist in these type of projects.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of, you know, I want to first kind of tip my hat off to St. John's, the district, for allowing and taking a risk on us for wanting to go that route. It basically has created an opportunity for them to be able to execute and get this Black Creek project done. So for that original investment in SWIG and supporting us, it's really allowed us to look at how else we can serve the district. And as Ryan, as you mentioned, is that we think that we can definitely be another tool for utilities, other municipalities, in order to kind of meet some of these future needs. There's not the silver bullet, but once again, it gives more tools in the basket, given the more stringent requirements that need to be met in the future.
How far is your reach, out of curiosity, geographically, in terms of whether it be the state or southeast or nationwide?
So right now, we are in completion of a media processing facility within Lake County, centrally located within the state. So that'll be able to support projects throughout the state. If needed, we'll also be able to kind of take material to southeast. But frankly, Florida right now is our home base. And, you know, we really would like to just focus on serving Florida, get as much traction we can in state before we decide to kind of move in other places. I mean, it's just kind of a perfect setup for us. And the need is here.
I think we've hit on North Florida and the projects and the work that you've done. Geographically speaking, within the state, has there been interaction with South Florida? Because there is a different sort of hydrologic system in South Florida.
100%. I mean, South Florida is the land of SDAs. And we and those are kind of the prime tools that the district's been using to address some of their nutrient challenges. We have given quite a bit of thought about, you know, where does our tech fall in line with SDAs, and we actually think it could be actually very complementary. SDAs do require kind of a routine or perennial hydration in order for those systems to work effectively. Our tech doesn't. So we can go through dry spells, and once it gets rehydrated, we're just once again removing phosphorus. So, you know, some thoughts or concepts is us working on the back end of an SDA. So in periods, if there is a dry out, we have the ability to take that original rehydration water, run it through our system so there isn't a net export of nutrients. So we are very interested in trying to figure out how kind of both systems can run in parallel or some other a combination where, once again, it just helps maybe improve performance, maybe de-risk some periods when there's drought or issues with hydrology. And we think that there's great opportunities.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. You know, Florida is, and I know a lot of people out there that are critics of Florida from an environmental standpoint. I don't think they really understand how other states are situated in these terms and how far ahead of other states Florida is, not just from a funding standpoint, but also from a policy standpoint. So I think you are in the right place. And yeah, I'm pretty excited about, you know, how it turns out for Florida in the future.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how people can reach you to learn more about how you can help them solve their water quality challenges.
Well, Vince, I'll let you take this one off as you're leading operations here.
Sure. A quick go back, if I may, on just some points of interest. We always get asked, you know, what are you going to do with the media after it's absorbed all this phosphorus? That comes up quite a bit, and we know it, but we're working with University of Florida IFAS to demonstrate it. It's a great soil amendment. You think about all the phosphorus absorbed, it's slow release, it's plant available once it's out of our systems. So we see a lot of agricultural applications for our what we call spent media. And so I just wanted to emphasize that. Other technologies we're involved in setting up, you may have a brochure on that, or it's on our website, is operations to support ag operations, putting the media in a ditch network, if you will, and collecting it, you know, later as spent media and maybe reusing it right on the farm. And also, and Mark can elaborate if needed, is tinkering with floating media systems, which is another innovation that we're exploring actively right now. But get back to your question about how we can get contacted. The best way is to go through our website at swig-llc.com. Or you can call me directly at 904-234-7865, and I'll be happy to meet with you and see how we can help.
Perfect. And we'll put all of your contact info and website info in the episode notes as well.
So, Vince, you kind of let a cat out of the bag there, but in summer school, we are going to have a booth as well. So we look forward to meeting a lot of the attendees, and we hopefully will have a concept of our floating system where it's a polyethylene reinforced floating media system where it can be utilized in canals in an area where land is not available. So look forward to folks that think that could be an interesting application, and really appreciate our time spent with you folks.
We are never shy to plug the permitting school. That's for sure.
I was going to say yet another reason to join us in Marco Island. I will be there at that booth. I can't wait to check that one out. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to our listeners for listening to the Florida Specifier Podcast. We appreciate your support. Production of this podcast is by Carl Sorn and David Barfield at Lonely Fox Studios. A special thank you goes out to Bagels and Biscuits, who are kind enough to let us use their music for the show. Check them out wherever you get your music. If you have an idea for an article for the specifier or topic for this podcast, please be sure to let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Join us next time as we continue to delve into the issues, policy, and people that environmental professionals and policymakers want to know about. And that's it. For Brett Cyphers, I'm Ryan Matthews. We'll see you next time.